entertaining talk radio broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday night miracle. That's right, this is the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk, that's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Home of such shows as Best in Show Radio, Bug Zapper Radio, and also Truth Time Theater. Rounding out the lineup is me. And with me, as always, ladies and gentlemen, your friend, my acquaintance, co-host of this fine show, upgraded from guest from last week, a guy named Steve. Steve, how you doing? What's going on, buddy?
Playing some internet slots, but not for real money.
You're playing internet slots for false wealth.
Well, it's bejeweled blitz money, I think.
Okay.
I can bet 500. But I'm gonna be broke.
So rather than actually host the show, you're gonna be a fucking slot jockey all night.
No, I'm gonna lose the money in about 15 seconds.
So, Steven, congratulations. Normally, people wait until their retirement to piss away all that they've earned, but you've decided to get right into it and piss away nothing. Just piss away time. That's really all you're losing.
Well, I haven't earned any time, so I can't really spend any time.
That's true. You're wasting time. How about that?
There we go. Perfect.
So here we are, another episode. We'll encourage the people who are listening live on HearUsTalk.com that if they want to call in, the number is 316-768-4472. And if you're not listening live, if you've downloaded this and you're trying to block out some of your annoying coworkers with this shit that you've actually put on whatever device you're hearing it on, good on you, first of all. And second of all, call in. Go to a live broadcast so we can hear your lovely voice. Anyway, Steven, we have so much to get to. It's just fucking amazing. You're playing slots.
I'm done. Told you.
Okay, you quit, and that's good.
I lost it all.
Oh, it's not that you gave up. You just ran out of fucking money.
Yeah, exactly.
Like an Asian woman just with the little telephone cord and 17 players cards attached to it, chain smoking and hitting a button. Awful. Does this make you pine for the casinos? Do you wish that you could be there
it
now?
It does. I mean, well, I was winning before. Like, I was playing a game that I was just increasingly winning on. I doubled my money, my internet fake money that I don't really have. But, it's nice to win money on a casino-type game.
I mean, it's nice to win money at a casino.
It's nice to win any money doing anything.
It's not necessarily nice to win fake money. I mean, it just makes you think that you're going to be successful.
Right.
So they lure you in with these bonuses, and you're like, oh, bonus. 2x bonus. Oh, what do I win? You get another couple fucking credits. I was playing that game as well, and for some reason it had a grip on me for about a few days. And I went into one of the games. This is, what is it called? Lucky Gem Casino on Facebook?
Yes, Lucky Gem Casino.
Lucky Gem Casino on fucking Facebook, by the way. For those of you who want to see how truly useless this is.
And the only way I heard of this game was from DJ New Style.
Okay.
So that's where I got introduced.
So apparently the audio is fucked up for the live listeners. If anybody else is experiencing that same thing, please let me know. I doubt that that's true. I think I might know who that person is. And they're not exactly technically inclined. Anyway, we'll just keep moving along.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
They might have opened it up in another tab on their Chromebook, perhaps.
I think I know exactly. Since it's streamers 64290, we can assume they don't even know how to log into the damn chat site. So
okay. Anyway. So I played that for a while, and it allows you to play different slot games. And I went into one of them, and I noticed that there was a, when you maximized it, there was a fucking chat box on the right, so you could chat with other people that were playing it, and all you would see is woot bonus, and then people would, and there'd be 78 replies with WTG, and then username way to go. And I'm like, oh, shit, man, I've been playing this for, like, 4 days. I'm, like, level 26, whatever the fuck that means. Like, do I have clout in this? So I started looking at some of the profiles. People are, like, level 138 fucking thousand. It's absolutely insane. They must be playing this forever and ever and ever, just addicted to the fact that they can simulate that real slot machine feeling, that real rush.
Well, I guess it's better than, you know, losing all your money.
Well, I mean, if it's never your money, it's kind of the same thing. Like, for example, if they have a husband...
Yeah, but you're not losing it, is the point.
Win or lose, it doesn't really fucking matter to them, because they're just going to keep playing. In the long run, they're going to fucking lose
everything.
Isn't
that every video game ever made?
No, that's true, but here's what I'm saying is, when they go to a real casino, it's not their money. They're probably getting it from someone who has earned it. Like, they're home playing this fucking fake game constantly.
I think if they're that addicted, they're playing because they don't want to get wrangled into actually going to a real casino.
Or they're that lady that chewed on the fucking block of cheese. And I called her lady only because I felt bad for Sandwich Humor Jeff calling her a fat, disgusting cunt who's chewing on a block of cheese. I felt bad at that point. I enjoyed it, but I felt bad. I don't know. So I had to get out of that. I casually mentioned that you're able to earn power-ups for another game you like, Bejeweled, and that got you intrigued.
It's like my all-time favorite game of all games, even of any like video game, you know, console game.
But now you're a slot jockey. See, we got you in the door, and now you can't stop playing. Well, now you can. You have to wait.
You have to wait until you earn a little more money. 7 or 8 minutes. Come on.
I remember when my family went to Las Vegas. And these are the types of people that I picture playing these games. Like they're actually practicing for real Vegas or real Atlantic City, like real casino time. They're using this fucking Facebook game as like batting practice. This guy, my dad and I were playing roulette. We were playing roulette,
right,
sitting at a table. This fucking like Brooklyn Queens fucking asshole with like a pot belly and a fucking Kiss t-shirt. He's wearing a Yankees hat and a Kiss t-shirt that was way too tight for his body. He waddles up to this fucking this table.
Sounds like something I would do.
And he's like, hey, boys, you playing the outside? yeah. So he's like, all right, I'm going to color out here. Let me split up and get some fucking some chips. He starts playing. And he would hit every now and then, like little tiny wins, and he would just tip the fucking dealer, and the guy's name was Andre. And go, hey Andre, this is for you, and slip over like a $1 chip, and the guy, the guy just fucking threw it in his tip slot and didn't even fucking acknowledge him.
They don't even have a slot. Isn't it just like a bucket?
Andre, like this is for you, Andre. Okay, keep hitting what I'm putting down, huh? Just a fucking complete asshole.
Oh, Jesus.
I was so enjoying his company. It was so fucking great to see. There are moments where you'll encounter strangers and you'll never forget that fucking exchange.
Well, that's half of playing table games, I think. Yeah. Is the characters you come across.
Yeah. Like we're there for hours for some reason. We're playing like with $100 and for some reason it's lasting for a very, very long time. We've seen people get completely cleaned out, go get markers, lose all that money, and then just fucking pull their hair out as they walked away from the table.
And this was roulette?
Roulette. We're playing the outside. We're playing the outside, okay. Not really doing it too seriously, just kind of enjoying ourselves. This asshole from fucking Brooklyn or Queens, one or two of the boroughs, maybe he was born on the fucking border of Brooklyn and Queens, came by. He's playing for a while. He's there with us for a bit. His fucking wife comes over, and She goes, I need money. And she's this raggedy, like a like a guinea pig that like, or better yet, you're walking home from school on a rainy day, and rain is rushing down the gutter, and you see roadkill. Now put on a fucking house coat and hand that fucking roadkill $20 and put it at a slot machine. When it loses it and comes back to her fucking fat kiss fan of a husband and asks for more money, this is the exchange. I need more money. I need more money. I lost it all. I need more money. And he looks at my dad, like, just exasperated. He looks at me, like he's like, we're going to sympathize with him. And he goes, Jesus Christ, you're spending it faster than I can fucking make it here. Like, this is his big plan to keep the whole fucking family afloat. So if you just stay under my margins, stay within my margins, and we'll be able to have a successful fucking vacation here. You're spending it faster than I go fucking make it here.
Does he run a costume shop in
Lenox? I got all these fucking costumes. I'm trying to fucking throw them down and get the fucking costumes. No. He was just a fucking douche. And no matter how much he had lost, he would always tip on every single win and remind Andre, or Andre as he would fucking say it, that this is for you. This is for you. Like he's gonna fucking do anything for him. I don't get tipping fucking dealers. I just don't fucking get it. They're not gonna break the rules and just look the other way and throw you a black chip. Two, they're not just gonna fucking have such a great skill that they can hit any number at their fucking choosing. It's fucking random. You fucking dope.
Like, I can understand if you just want something big, and then you tip the dealer, like, hey, you gave me a lucky card. Like, that's, or, you know, you did something right that helped me out. But that's the basis of the tipping. Not like, hey, I just, you know, lost 90% of what I brought, and I just won $5, I'm going to tip you a dollar of it.
He's going for, that big shot feel. Except he didn't dress like a big shot. He didn't wear a suit or drink anything. I think he nursed one free drink. And I've never seen a fucking dryer glass get sipped from. Like, he was going for molecules. That bitch didn't come back with a drink. He was just holding that drink and pretending like he was fucking enjoying it.
He wasn't an idiot. He should have been tipping the waitress, not Andre.
Exactly. Andre doesn't need your fucking money. Obviously, he's not grateful. He doesn't even look at you, give you any fucking eye contact. He thinks you're abhorrent. Fucking hates your presence. With his fucking mouse face and that stupid Kiss t-shirt. Listen, there are a lot of you maybe listening that enjoy Kiss. I just don't fucking get it. Anytime I see somebody who is a fan of Kiss, so much that they'll wear the Kiss apparel.
Yeah.
I can't help but think less of you. I can't help but think, this guy fucking loves shitty clown music. Congratulations. Now, if I were to tell you, Steve, hey, you know, I'm not a Kiss fan, but, a couple of the songs, kind of like.
Yeah.
A couple of the songs. I would never fucking, I mean, maybe, but I would
never.
That's
the way I am. Yeah, I mean, you know, they have their songs, what, rock and roll.
I don't even think I would wear a t-shirt of my favorite band. Like, I would never wear it. But this guy
has t-shirts of bands, and maybe one of them would rank in the top 10. Because I just would go to concerts and buy the t-shirt, or I would go to Scott.
Would you buy it from the Jamaicans that come out of the reeds at Giant Stadium?
No, not.
A shirt! $20! A shirt! They have, like, the I crucified Jesus thing, like that cross that they put all the shirt hangers on. Like, they're trying to just show you that they have tons of them.
Yeah, and they walk across, like, bearing the cross of t-shirts as they...
Yeah.
You know,
it's awful.
Got the Jamaica hats on, man.
Well, apparently Goatweed is saying that they call those people shirt ends. And by N, of course, I mean nigga.
Sure, nigga.
Yeah, sure. They're always like some kind of islander, aren't they? They're like Jamaican or something.
I don't know. I've seen plenty of white guys doing it.
That's true. Recently, to be fair, recently this has crossed races at this point. When Amanda and I went to, and yes... We did go to a Carrie Underwood fucking concert. When
Jeopardy
we went there
today about Carrie Underwood.
That I went there? What was it? 200 or 1,000?
It was a $200 question.
little-known internet podcast host went to this faggoty concert. What is Carrie Underwood? That is correct, and you maintain control of the board. Awful. So we were in the parking deck, and the guy came out and started knocking on fucking cars. And this is like a woman's concert. Like, there's groups of gals that the officer decided they're going to go let their fucking hair down and listen to this little hayseed singer fucking songs. And they knocked on the side of the window, and I looked at the guy, glared at him, and I was getting ready to fucking turn the car on, and he just held up a shirt that was just poorly printed.
Like half of it.
It said $20. No. And he just fucking wandered off and started following a group of girls. So it's
that's actually fairly cheap, $20 for a concert T-shirt.
But it's not a concert T-shirt. This is
something. It's not the official. It's
like the promo poster printed on a black tee.
Gotcha.
That's what it is.
And it must be even easier to do those things today because you can just print them out onto sheets of paper and make T-shirts.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, or
you don't need the silk screen anything anymore.
No, you don't have to do
that. It's nicer, but
don't have to do that at all. You just print it directly on the fucking fabric and you wash it once and it fucking goes away.
Well, yeah.
It's absolutely terrible. So you've actually bought the official concert T-shirt to commemorate your enjoyment of the music.
Two of them I did.
Share which concert?
It was actually three. Now I think of it. It was two Ozfest shirts, Ozfest 97 and 98. I bought the shirt. 97, it was ridiculous. I think the shirt was like $45. And then 98.
Wait, for what? For Ozfest? $45 you paid for a fucking shirt?
It's a t-shirt. I still have it. Like,
And from 97, you still have a shirt from 1997?
I have many shirts from the 90s still. Like all the band. Like I used to go to ska shows and it was great because at ska shows, they would sell the shirts and the CDs, and the CDs would be like $5, and the shirts would be like $7.
Yeah.
So a $7 T-shirt of a band you're mildly interested in, and if it was a new band I had just seen and I liked them, I'll buy the T-shirt or buy the CD or buy both.
So
for $12.
So like, the cheap T-shirt at the ska concerts, as Ustreamer 956347 is saying, you could use them to wipe your ass while you're at the concert,
right?
Working up a sweat. Skanking at the Wetlands, your fucking ass is just all cheesy.
I'm sure I bought one of those T-shirts at the Wetlands.
Just put it right down the crack of your ass and let it soak up the sweat.
Yep.
And you can wear your jeans again tomorrow. Not like you weren't planning on doing that anyway. 1997, you still own a good percentage of your wardrobe from that year.
I wouldn't say a good percentage.
Okay, do you own more than 20 shirts from 1997? Oh my God.
I think it's close.
You're gonna be on a fucking special one day.
I think it's gonna be.
You're gonna be on a hoarder's special.
I'm not hoarding clothes.
They're gonna be asking you to throw out fucking Isaac Green and the Scholars.
It's not like concert I have clothes team. like piles of clothes from 1997 around here. Like no, I might have. Maybe I have. I mean, they're all not from the same year, but
you're
I'm
gonna
sure
be
I
on
have.
Hoarders, and they're gonna beg you to throw out your fucking Pie Tasters T-shirt. And they're going to say, Steven, it's from 97. Let it go. And you'll throw it in the dumpster.
While they're there.
But then they'll cut to you and you'll be like, hey, come here. And you'll just like open up a bag and be like, I couldn't throw it out. And it'd be in there.
It's amazing because when I do my laundry.
I just couldn't do it.
When I do my laundry, the lint screen is always just clear. There's no more lint to come off them.
Jesus Christ. They're just husks. They're husks of T-shirt material.
Yeah, it's basically spider webbing.
I was watching this one episode of Hoarders, and a coworker of mine told me to watch this because he suggested it to me. He goes, "Hey Ken, what are you doing Wednesday night?" And I said, "I said what? You know, 9 o'clock? Where will you be?" I'm like, "I'll probably be on my way home or home." And he goes, "You should turn on Hoarders." I go, "Why?" My sister's gonna be on.
I'm thinking,
holy shit, you're selling your fucking hoarder sister out. What the fuck is going on? Why would you want people to see your disgusting sister's house?
Because maybe he's been trying to tell people about this for a long time, and someone finally picked up on it. And now he just wants everyone to know that he was right.
And so the day goes on and on, and he's telling everybody that walks by his desk, And then, and I'm like, dude, why are you want everybody to watch your sister on Hoarders? She goes, no, she's the cleanup. She's the cleanup person. I spent the whole day thinking this kid's sister is going to just be fucking riddled with old newspapers and half-eaten boxes of Captain Crunch from the 80s. But apparently, the episode that she was on, the woman died. So this is Hoarders, the house killed her, buried alive, there's something.
Is this
like
the one where there's like a heavy set ginger woman throwing a chair out in the street because she was mad?
That's the very one!
Dude, I never watched that show, but I actually turned it on the other day. And just because she was throwing a chair out in the street, and she had absolutely, like, she's like, oh, my sister ruined all this stuff or something like
mother,
that. Or my mother ruined everything. This is my grandfather's
fucking
desk.
She hulked out because some desk that she didn't give a fuck about while her mother was alive.
Right.
Meanwhile, the mother lived her whole fucking life. You didn't go down and see her or even fucking, you know, ask about the desk or go down to see the desk to remember your fucking uncle's workspace. Now you see it all shitted up and you're going to fucking act out for the cameras.
Or, you know, maybe
you
go down and help
fat
her clean
sow.
Up.
You fat ginger fucking sow. Eat shit, yeah.
See, when I turned it on,
call her up. Call up your fucking mom. Bring a goddamn Swiffer down there.
Right.
And a fucking and a
like
large
a
bag.
Kids. There was like another daughter, and then like a son. And I'm like, why didn't they clean up the fucking house if there was so much of the stuff that they cared about?
Well,
in
here's the thing about that episode. The two daughters did not live with the mother, and they didn't want anything to do with her. I guess because she abused them. She was verbally abusive. She was emotionally abused. All that fucking corny bullshit. But meanwhile, the house is up for grabs, so let's go rooting around through rat shit to fucking find it and get our trove, you fucking bitches. There's also a son. Now, they open the show by every episode of Hoarders. They show you how bad the house is. That's the point.
I missed the beginning. I just saw her go nuts in the street with a chair. She's like, oh, this chair is ruined now. And then she's throwing it. She couldn't even break it.
Yeah, that's true.
The chair had great construction because the chair was just not breaking.
She really could have just cleaned it and fucking reupholstered it.
That's what I'm sitting there thinking. I'm like, you're spending all this energy trying to destroy the thing.
It was made out of like,
can't.
It was made out of kiln dried fucking swamp oak.
It was like a chair that like wasn't, you know, it was carved out of a single piece of wood, you know? Like, it didn't even have like legs that were like attached to it. It was all just one piece of wood.
So they show you how fucked up the house is. And usually they have when it's not buried alive, there's usually the hoarder who gets to show you. But buried alive, the hoarder's dead. So they have this dippy looking son with fucking like pointy yellow teeth. Just fucking pointing everybody around, like, oh, this is scratching his neck a lot. Like, oh, this is the bedroom, and as you can see, the bed is kind of chewed up. And you know, watch your step, because you know, there's a lot of rat feces. And this is the sink, and it hasn't worked since 2000. And like, as I'm watching this, I'm like, man, this guy really knows a lot about his dead mom's house.
He's
like,
he probably lived there.
The fucking shower hasn't worked since 2003, and you can't flush the toilet because it's backed up, and blah, blah, blah. And then they cut away to his like little interview thing. He's like, yeah, I've been living here for the last 5 months since mom died. Not really sure what I'm going to do. And
Clean.
So
that's what you should be doing, cleaning.
So the mother lived there, and it just fucking shitted the place up with piles of clothes, piles of things, and eventually it just fucking let loose. And every room was just covered in shit, literally and figuratively. Like papers, all that. It's just, it's one of the worst houses.
There were a lot of mice living there, right? There was a lot of
rats, not mice. Not fucking mice.
Rats?
Rats.
Norwegian rats, Norway rats, as they're called, brown rats?
Yes. So what happened was, the mother lived there and shitted up the place, lived in amongst the rat shit, probably with hentavirus and some fucking parasites in her brain.
That's the worst thing. I mean, that is absolutely the worst thing to have.
And eventually,
it's shit in your house.
She died of lung cancer because she's been living in black mold, rat shit, and every other bad
mold is
fucking
also super bad.
Bad, terrible thing. So she died of lung cancer. And you could tell somebody that when they see this house and say, oh, that's terrible, but she's been living in there, so I understand why. Now, when they also find out that the son's been living there all along with the fucking mother, something doesn't fucking add up. They're depicting this guy like he's some just freewheeling 20-something who just was a victim of circumstance and was looking after his mom and living with her. But meanwhile, she died and he stays in this shit without cleaning it out or doing anything for 5 fucking months.
That's ridiculous, man.
Also, he's walking around in basketball shorts and fucking sandals. Oh, you can't even, like, you can't walk in the grass without getting dirt on your toes if you have sandals. You can't walk on the beach without getting sand on your feet. This guy is stepping in fucking 12-inch deep piles of rat shit wearing fucking flip-flops that you could get for free at an Old Navy if you go early enough. If an Old Navy opens, they give away fucking flip-flops. These are like those little fucking thin pieces of shit with the little fucking toe web burning plastic thing that goes right between your two toes. Those cheap-ass fucking flip-flops. And so I'm watching this thing, and they get the cleanup crew. I see my coworker's sister. But before that, the two daughters are there rooting around through all this shit. They're like, oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. Ah. They're flipping through drawers. They're seeing things that they remember from their childhood. They're going, oh my God. They're putting their hands on their fucking face. They're touching things. They're stepping in things. They're not wearing fucking breathers. The cleanup crew comes in. The first thing she says is, if you go in there, make sure you wear a full suit, gloves. Yeah, do not touch anything.
That was like Resident Evil. Like, I saw that, and they came in, you know, like the Resident Evil, like, we're dealing with the T-virus.
Yeah. Do not touch fucking anything, is what they said. And this is after 25 minutes of them just, like, wiping tears and fucking, like, licking their fingers like they're enjoying a bucket of Colonel's chicken. Just,
I bet
you
the film
idiots.
Crew got pissed. The film crew's like, well, why this shit didn't you let them tell us that before following these people into the house?
I'm sure they knew. This isn't their first fucking hoarder house.
That's true.
And also, keep in mind, this is in, like, Miami, okay?
Hot and humid.
It is a convection oven of poisons and shit in that house.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The house is...
That's why I can't watch it, man.
The house is on the border of being bank-owned. There's no AC in this fucking house.
Oh, my God.
If they don't have a working sink, they're not going to have a fucking heating and cooling system.
That's
so
true.
It's baking inside this fucking house. So the cleanup crew says what they say, and they have a nice long shot of them putting on this protective gear. Like the fucking outbreak suits. They're putting those things, like, they're putting booties over the fucking footy pants. They're covering absolutely every piece of them. And then they cut over to this dope that was living there wearing fucking sandals. And he says, when they started putting on biohazard suits, I got a little concerned because I just been living there. And I'm thinking, you've been living there? There was a sequence where he picked up a can of pears that had been chewed through by rats, and he couldn't figure out what was in it. And he just kept putting it close to his face to get a good look. And he said, I don't know, probably pears. Puts it down.
Oh, my God, man.
And Ustreamer 874739 in the chat room right now, where you should be if you're listening live on heroestalk.com, he says, why don't they just dynamite this house? Good question. Why don't they dynamite it? Well, the reason
they
that
should.
Absolutely. The neighbors would love to. Like, if they had a hoarder house in a neighborhood, everybody kind of knows. Like, maybe you walk your dog by it, you're kind of enjoying your life. You're like, oh, I'm going to go on a trip in August. I'm going to take the dog to the vet. I think I might buy a new iMac. You walk past this sour-smelling fucking house with brown grass in the middle of a moist summer. And you just fucking feel bad, and you feel your property value just plummet. Every time you smell that fucking, that acrid, dead, fucking metallic rat shit piss smell.
Oh, God.
Every time. So why won't you just dynamite the house? Well, the reason is, those daughters wanted to see if the mother had the papers that proved she owned the house. So they had to go and look through all the shit, because they wanted the money. They didn't want the mother.
Yeah, that's
they didn't
that's
want Steve. They didn't want the fucking mother. They didn't want to be an actual daughter or help out. have her come up and visit or anything like that. No, they wanted her fucking shitty house so they could suck whatever money out of it that they could.
That's why they were mad. The one was crying because the desk was all fucked up. She probably, tried to get it estimated, and they're like, well, this is in terrible condition. You can't get any money for it. And then they got all mad about it. That's what it was.
So, Steve, what do you do when you have a house that you don't know if you've inherited it or not? You have to find the papers, but it's full of shit. What do you do?
Well, you still want the deed to the house because it means you own the land that it's on.
That's true. Well, how do you get that deed? What is the first thing you do if you realize the house is so messy? You might not have an easy time finding it. What would you do, Steve?
Well, if you had a mortgage, you would go to the bank where the mortgage was, or you would go to the town hall and see if there was a deed. I mean, you can get a deed reprinted.
Well, what if you still don't know about any of that, and you feel you need the physical paper?
I guess you route around in there.
You'd have to go out and clean it, right? You'd have to get all the shit out and find it.
Or call Buried Alive and have them do it for you.
Well, what they did instead was get a medium to contact their mother and point them
where the fuck
and point them to the corner of this fucking hovel where it might be. Now, Steve, you might say, "Well, how are they going to have a ghost point them anywhere? A ghost? How are they going to physically be pointed by an apparition?" Steve, if you ask me that, you obviously don't know how the great beyond works. Because what you have to do is you get an object of theirs. A necklace is preferred.
How about a pile of rat shit that's right in front of them?
The medium basically said, "Do you have something of hers?" And they happen to have a horn filled with her ashes on a fucking silver necklace. And they're like, "We have this." Handed it to her. She's like, "This is perfect."
Someone wearing their mother's ashes? Hold on a second.
If you want to communicate with her, simply hold the necklace up like this. Put your palm out underneath it as it dangles and ask a yes or no question. If it's yes, it'll move in a circle. If it's no, it'll swing back and forth. If she's unsure, it'll stay where it is. By the way, anybody who fucking believes any of this horse shit, and there are people that do. There are rational, well, maybe not rational. There are living people with real world problems and responsibilities who fucking believe this shit. That I'm going to hold up some fucking token, some fucking trinket on a goddamn necklace and communicate with my fucking loved ones.
Hey, that's like people who believe horoscopes. It's like something, they say something over 60% of people believe in horoscopes. That's more than half of the people.
Oh, my God.
They believe that when you were born, and apparently there's only...
The stars are going to be in alignment, and it's going to work out. That printed word is going to apply to everybody born in this fucking month today. Oh, fuck the horoscopes. I'm disgusted by people that have to go to a medium and ask about their loved one. What are they doing? What would they think about what I'm going to be doing? What would they think about? Are they there? Are you in contact with them? Person who has a fucking a house converted into a fucking place of mysticism next to a Burger King?
Right.
Can you please put me in contact with Tilly? So I could ask her if this Afghan is a good purchase. Just fucking so stupid. So dumb. So anyway, they go through this exercise of asking the medium to help them find it. The fucking medium says, it doesn't look like it's here. She says it doesn't look like it's here. Which, she could be right, she could be wrong.
Found it!
They go and still, they're like, they go and ask the question, is it in this room? The fucking thing swings. Because they fucking swung it! Anyway, so they can't find it on their own. They get the professional cleaners. Long story short, Steve, the mother refinanced in 2010 and supposedly never received paperwork, so she never fucking paid. She had been the owner of the house.
So they inherited the holder of
the mortgage. For like 20 years. 20 years she paid this fucking house, refinanced, and fucking just never paid again. So the bank gets that fucking brand new cleaned up house. Brand new. And when I say brand new, I mean slightly like dingy. Like it looks like the set of Saw. Like one of the Saw movies. There should the guy from Princess Bride should be chained to a radiator and urged to cut his own foot off in this fucking room.
Wesley.
They're like, well, there's no smell no more. And the walls are as clean as you could hope.
So actually, the guys from the show came in and cleaned it up all nice for the bank.
Yep. Yep. And and the best is when they realize they have to sign it over to the bank, they look at the guy who's been living there, who is a fucking dope. Just a dullard who's had his brain numbed by years of exposure to poison and toxins.
Living in Florida.
And they say, well, this is, you're just going to have to go out on your own now. You're going to have to step away from the past. Like this guy, like he could do anything. He can't even fucking, the only thing this guy is good at is avoiding tall piles of garbage so he can get to other rooms filled with garbage.
Oh man!
There's no redeeming value for him. He has like yellow pointy teeth. Dentistry wasn't a fucking priority. I'm glad you did. I'm very glad you did.
Uncanny. It's amazing that this is the one that I actually sat and watched.
Yeah.
For probably 10 minutes. Like I didn't watch the whole show. Like commercials hit. I'm on another channel. If it's not that interesting, but I watched the people coming into the house in full. Full fucking DEFCON 1 gear, I saw the woman going nuts with the chair. That's what got me watching for the 10 minutes.
Streamer 956347 is saying I guess he's talking about the medium. Yeah, they take all the salami up the ass and get nothing in the end.
Yep,
I guess that's what happened. Guess that's what happened to those two fucks acting out for the camera.
Got paid. You know the medium.
You know she got paid, and she didn't have to be in that fucking house that long either.
Yeah. Oh, she actually went inside. She didn't.
She did. She was only like a 10-minute portion of the show.
Oh, they didn't suit her up though.
They're like she comes in and does her big things. Like, don't tell me your names. Don't tell me any of your names.
Yeah, because she doesn't know her.
Meanwhile, she was given a fucking address. To get there. She didn't just fucking medium her way to the fucking house. She was given a goddamn address that she probably Googled, figured out who the fuck lived there, searched all the records, and now she's like, oh, I see a nursing degree somewhere. So, Mama was a nurse! Brr! So fucking gullible.
Oh, God.
That was her! She worked really hard for that!
See,
awful. Fuck.
I don't believe in any kind of like people with an attachment to a ghost and they can like read people instantly and all that stuff. Yeah. Well, I believe people can read people. I think that's true. I think,
of course,
you're not good at reading people, and then other people are good at reading people, having like met them for a short amount of time. I think there's people that are way, like, they could, tell by the way you look around different things about you. Just by how you carry yourself. I think people can read really deeply into that. But I don't think anybody talks to fucking ghosts.
By the way, we have a professional medium in the chat room right now. This might be a Chase Outlaw situation. But the professional medium says, I predict the bank will still lose money on that Petri dish. I think you're right. You're absolutely right.
Just fucking Petri dish. Hideous.
Yeah. Just terrible. I think I prefer the hoarders where the hoarder is still alive, because then you can see their fucking petty bargaining. Like
I just want to keep this one little thing, and there's a couple things attached to it, so I have to keep them too.
Yeah.
That never happens in the North. Aren't those shows all usually down south? Not to offend Southerners.
I think I'm going to level with you. I think there's a hoarder house in my fucking development.
Oh yeah,
there is a house that I've seen. I've never seen any activity. It's like Freddy Krueger's fucking house. There's legends about it.
I mean, do you look in the windows? Can you see any?
I haven't walked on the property and like peered into the glass.
You've driven past, right?
I've driven
past.
See,
like stuff like stacked in the window, dude.
The garage door is covered with beware of dog signs. So like all the glass in the garage door has several beware of dog signs. The shingles,
maybe they're trying to protect something then.
The shingles on the fucking roof are crumbled. It's not like it's that Beverly Hills 90210 terracotta shingle. These are fucking like regular shingles that are just crumbled to pieces and just sitting there. I gotta be honest though, the lawn on that house is horrible and it's still better than mine. I am fucking slacking in a huge way on my fucking lawn and I feel terrible about it.
It's been a bad winter for lawns, I think.
I'm walking the dog and I'm looking, I'm like, what the fuck? This guy cut his grass and like vacuumed? There's not a leaf on his fucking lawn.
Wait, when?
Just like a week ago. Like when it was kind of nice out, I was.
No, there's a point after like the first snowstorm where you just don't give a shit about leaves anymore. That's it. It's snow.
I didn't give a shit about leaves. Here's the thing: I didn't give a shit about leaves when I should have given a shit about leaves. That's the problem. That's why my house looks like
the first snowfall.
My house, my lawn looks like the fucking move was living in there. And the mayor of Philadelphia is going to firebomb my roof. That's how fucking bad my lawn is right now. Just the move, publicly shitting and pissing on the fucking lawn. I have neighbor dog shit on my fucking yard. Neighbor dog shit. A fucking dog shit on the walkway into the house. And I guess Amanda never looks where she steps. She tracked shit into the fucking house. I'm like, didn't you fucking feel it? Don't you look? Have you ever done that? I mean, as a kid, sure. But you learn after a certain point, look where you fucking step. What if you stepped on a rusty nail? Listen, I always look where the fuck I step.
I'm trying to think of the last time I did track shit anywhere. It might have been 10 years ago. I might have been in my 20s.
I don't think I've stepped in shit. Here, I'm going to say this. This is a bold statement. I don't think I've stepped in shit since I was 8 years old. Thank you. I'm applauding myself. I've learned my lesson. Okay, I remember having sneakers where the white treads were just filled with dirt and shit, and I would spend time in like fifth grade just taking my pencil fishing it out. I should have been learning how to subtract fractions, but instead I was fishing pieces of shit out of my sneaker.
Did you throw the pencil away?
I probably used it. To be honest, you know when they took out the biohazard suit, I got a little nervous. I mean, I've just been writing with that pencil. Absolutely.
It's number two. I needed the number two.
Holy shit. Goofy Bone is in the house right now. Goofy Bone's enjoying it. Not enjoying. He's hearing it.
Yeah, I don't think he enjoys much of anything.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. He's a funny guy, too.
Yeah, but for those of you who don't know Goofy Bone, he's a regular on a site called Blog Talk Radio. Which is what we usually go on after the show. We've made a ritual of calling into Mr. Midnight Movies show.
He's the head guy over there, right? He's like the site owner, whatever.
No, he doesn't own fucking Blog Talk. I mean, he has declared himself the president.
Oh.
Or maybe he was elected by.
He's self-declared president of Blog
like
Talk.
Yeah, like Hugo Chavez was the self-appointed president.
He just died today. You know, he died today.
Of course. Right? Respect.
Amazing. I was amazed.
Steve, do you have a drink? Can you tip some out on your carpet, please?
Yeah, I will. I will.
Will you?
Yeah.
Right on that hard spot where the fucking mat used to be.
There we go. Got it. Nice. I got it.
Thank you. That's for you, Hugh. Go. Go ahead. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Hey,
you know what?
Listen, the man won. The man won 98% every single election.
Well, you know,
every 4 years, 98% of the vote. But interestingly enough, every 4 years, complete population reduction by 2%. Every 4 years. I don't know. Steve, you think I have these fucking
stats? He didn't kill his own people, man. Venezuelans loved him.
No, they fucking did not. Are you kidding me?
I'm pretty sure they did.
I'm pretty sure that I know a Venezuelan who told me today.
I'm pretty sure the Venezuelan media said everybody loved him.
The person who told me was originally from Venezuela, and he said, Hugo Chavez is dead. And I go, oh, okay. And I turn around and start working. He goes, my family will be pleased.
No, you ever see the commercial with Joe Kennedy? And it's if you're a poor person and you can't afford your oil heat, you call Joe Kennedy, and Joe Kennedy gets oil heating for people that don't make a lot of money. And it's a courtesy.
Is he an actual Kennedy, or is he just a guy who has that last name?
I'm not sure. I think he is related. Yeah. But yeah, and then at the end of the commercial,
then my answer is no, I didn't see it.
Thank you to the good people of Shell Oil and Hugo Chavez.
Oh, he thanked
them. Thanks, Hugo
fuck
Chavez.
That piece of shit. Look, my dad right now, if he was here, and it's not like I'm about to hire a medium. He's still with us. He's still living. But if he was in this room right now and you mentioned Kennedy, you would hear, commie pinko leftist fag. Maybe not fag. I don't know. But definitely commie, definitely pinko, and possibly leftist. Maybe even socialist.
Don't they all mean the same thing? Isn't that triple redundancy?
But maybe he just likes to go through the many variations. Or maybe he's just stacking them to make it more extreme.
Well, maybe they cover a broad range of different things, and he just wants to cover all of his bases.
Ustreamer 956346, who's probably listening on a Chromebook, I don't know how I would know that, said, Kennedy is a shitheel and is related to the other fucked up Kennedys.
Shitheel.
He is a shitheel and is related to the other fucked up Kennedys. You know, the ones that like to play fucking ski slope football. Think that was a good idea until it stopped being a good
idea.
Aren't
they like all dead? I think he's the last remaining Kennedy. I think they've killed them all at this point.
No, there are some left.
They all die under some very strange circumstances.
Well, yeah, one of them, I think Michael or one, who gives a shit?
Plane went missing. You know, one guy becomes president, gets killed.
One guy runs for president, gets killed.
Yeah.
Maybe the other
one gets killed by the mafia.
But Ted Kennedy, brain cancer. That guy lived the fucking longest and was one of the most fucked up.
And yeah, he got away with murder.
Yeah. He had to go take a nap, everybody. It's very jarring when you murder a lady. very jarring.
And you know what?
You have to collect your thoughts.
He murdered somebody and everyone treated him like he was the fucking shit. You know, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. This is...
Yeah, he was a third tier brother, and he was all that was left, so they fucking revered him.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I think Ted Kennedy to the Republicans is as Ronald Reagan is, Ted Kennedy is to the Democrats as Ronald Reagan is to the Republicans. Because I think everybody has a skewed fucking version of the history of each person. Because Ted Kennedy was a goddamn, he was not a great person, man. He was not a great person.
No, he definitely was not.
And the Republicans always praise Reagan.
Don't do it. I'm just telling you, don't do it.
I'm not going to say fucking Reagan killed anybody. I'm not going to say that.
There will be a man on a Chromebook who will be less than pleased if you travel down this fucking path.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that right now.
I'm going to travel down it because I think Reagan was one of the biggest spenders in the history of our country. He's got to be top five spenders.
I don't think that's true. I mean, he was a big spender.
He was a huge military spender. Now,
yeah, and let me ask you something. How many wars were we in?
One.
Cold War.
That how much did that cost compared to other wars?
Well, let me tell you something. Would anybody have tried any of the shit that was tried on us with other presidents under Reagan?
That's you can't judge something that hasn't happened.
And not only... Well, here's what's happening. Here's what's happening now as far as spending. Barack Obama cannot fucking stop spending.
Oh, my God. You know what? Well, today I got pissed. I was very pissed about the whole fucking... what is it? $280 million to Egypt? I mean, I think it's a million. I don't think it's a billion, right? It's 280 million.
Yeah, and then add the 60 that was given to Syria by John Kerry, who decides he's going to speak French to the French people.
Oh, whatever.
He's going to conduct a conversation in French to the
French
people.
Yeah, okay. Because
his fucking hag wife with that ketchup money speaks French. Oh, so he's going to flex his fucking French muscles. Fucking foot kisser. John Kerry. This is, by the way, these are all references that I'm serving up to my dad the foot kisser, and hag with ketchup money. Jesus Christ.
But I don't agree. I mean, even though it's the millions, which is, you know, very low, when you're talking anything, maybe if it's 900 million, that's big in the scheme of the budget. What?
Ustreamer 956347 has typed into his Chromebook, Carrie is going to suck French cock while gargling in French.
That might happen.
I'm not gonna rule it out. I have no idea his plans or his agenda while he's in France, but I can't know that that's not on the list of things to do.
I'm just
not aware. Maybe he will suck some cock after going to visit the Louvre, or maybe he'll go and throw some more medals. People seem to love that. Takes his fucking medals, throws them over defiantly. This is not my country. Shut the fuck up.
I still don't understand the whole thing with France, man. Why do people hate the French? I hate French Canadians.
Because they're fucking snot. They're absolutely snotty motherfuckers. No, French Canadians are nice. French Canadians are fucking pleasant. The ones like George St. Pierre, pleasant motherfucker.
No, they're not.
Beat the shit out of you. But the ones in France, they resent Americans for some reason.
That's what the ones in Canada resent Americans. Like Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek is just a fucking smarmy asshole. That's all it is. He's a fuck with his greaseball mustache and his greasy hair.
He's also a French Canadian.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
How about this?
Alex Trebek is an over-enunciating and over-pronouncing fucking douche. And I can't stand him. And I hope they fucking replace him. He thinks he's that whole show, but he's just a piece of shit standing in front of blue screens. That's all he is.
You know, it's terrible because I love the show and I really cannot stand him. Like, I pick him apart every chance I get. Like, here's a word. Tell me how you would say this word. B-I-O-P-I-C.
Biopic? Or biopic, maybe?
What do you think it is?
Well, I know it's a picture that's a biography. I'd probably say biopic.
So you would change the pronunciation from biography to biography.
Bio.
It's a bio.
Because here's the thing.
Just like it's a biography.
Whenever I abbreviated it in fucking class, I would say, I gotta go to fucking bio with my shemale teacher. Who I actually had a woman who was very masculine teach me biology, which I would abbreviate as a bio. I would call it, I'm going to bio.
I would say that too. But when it comes to the word biopic, it's biopic. It's not biopic.
Okay, so what does Alex Trebek say?
He says biopic.
Well, maybe he's right, smart man that he is.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's the one thing that he always says, and it just annoys me.
Here, what annoys me is that he puts the inflection of the language of origin in all the words. Like he'll never just say enchilada. No. He goes, sorry, enchilada. So you said tostadas, but so close. Actually, the answer is what is enchiladas?
Yeah, and he does it with like Russian-based languages, Eastern European. Like, he really fucking knows any Eastern European language. I think he knows French and Canadian. I'm assuming he knows French, because he is a Frenchie.
Here's a video on YouTube that'll teach us how to say it.
How to say biopic?
Biopic, or biographical movie.
Biographical.
Biopic, or biographical movie.
Where the fuck is she from? She's from fucking Wales or something.
I think she's smart, and I think she has a goddamn handle on this, Steve. I think you're fucked up. Me, Trebek, and this YouTube bitch, we got it going on.
Yeah, well,
you
she's from
are
fucking...
fucked. You got it fucked in your head, buddy.
Okay, the Cornwall bitch has it right. I'm
this,
wrong.
This North African Algerian bitch.
She's North African.
I don't know what she is.
She's Moroccan.
Sure. Absolutely.
That's how they pronounce it in Liberia.
Who would you have host Jeopardy if you could replace Trebek today?
Well, if I could pick anybody, or is it someone that would be available?
Anybody. Steve, let's just say, for some fucked up, stupid, and misguided reason, you were in charge of casting.
I'd get someone British.
On ABC.
I'd get someone British.
Like we need another Brit acting like they're better than us?
No, I'd get, you know, someone like Stephen Fry. Like someone, you know, that just sounds like they're smart, even though they could be an idiot.
I would rather have Bill Nye the Science Guy.
That would be great. No, that would be good,
you know
too.
Why? He won't,
or like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
He won't act like he knows it all.
Rob Gates has a great suggestion in the chat room.
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox would be great as a host of Jeopardy.
Yeah, if he could keep hold of the cards. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. Listen, I apologize. I feel terrible.
Oh, he's cashed in on it. Come on.
He has. At this point, he's making fun of it.
Yeah. No, I've seen the episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where he completely self-deprecates on his Parkinson's.
It's true.
And
Larry David actually accused him of playing it up a little too.
Yeah, Larry is sort of playing it up, and he gives him a beer.
It was pretty good.
The beer, and the beer explodes. It was hilarious. It was a very good episode, and it's good that people can laugh about shit. I mean, it's better to, you know, laugh about something terrible than cry about something terrible, if that makes any sense.
My biggest fucking complaint about Trebek, and I think I've said this on a previous episode, is when you guess the wrong answer. Like, for example,
like sometimes he will make comments. He'll make those comments like, "Oh,
what is bacon?" "Oh, no. Sorry, so close. The answer the correct response is what is pancetta?" Like, pancetta. Fuck you. You didn't know that, Trebek. You think ham is a fucking disc with a thin piece of skin around it, you fucking Canuck prick.
He would never.
By the way, I was waiting for something else to come out of my mouth between Canuck and prick, and I just had the worst, most awkward fucking gap. But he is a Canuck prick, and I fucking can't stand him.
He's one of the few French people I do not like. Hmm. I Canadian people. I really do like Canadians. Hmm. You got Conan. Conan, great Canadian.
Hold on. What did you just say?
Conan?
Like Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
You think Conan O'Brien is Canadian?
Isn't he?
No, he's from fucking Boston.
Is he?
Yes.
I thought he was Canadian.
What the fuck is the matter? No, he's from goddamn Boston. Watch me be wrong here. Where the fuck is Conan O'Brien from, Steve? You can't just make these claims. First of all, I'm going to acknowledge that there's no way in fuck that Conan O'Brien is Canadian. Granted, he has a fucked
he is,
up...
He is. No, he's Brookline, Massachusetts.
There you go. Thank you.
Well...
He does look like a South Park cartoon drawing of a Canadian. Yeah.
Yeah. That head flap. That's why I thought he was.
But, God, he looks like a burn victim in some pictures. It's really terrible.
Yeah, he's a frightening man in different ways.
I enjoy his humor.
Me too.
But I haven't seen one episode of his show on TBS. And it's been at least 16 years, I think.
I've been watching King of the Nerds, and afterwards Conan comes on, and I do watch it.
You watch King of the Nerds? You really enjoy that show?
Yeah, only because it's funny in some aspects. Like, there was a... like, they have... Like, the way the show runs is there's the initial round where someone, you know, wins the round and gets immunity from the next round, right? You know, like most shows.
Yeah.
And... You know, but the whole show is themed on the same thing. So, like, one show was, like, cosplay, like, where people dressed up in costumes and performed and shit like that.
Ugh.
And then another one was, like, flying, like hovercraft vehicles and stuff like that. And the last one was, it was a physics episode.
Okay.
And this was down, they're down to five people at this point. And... The first thing was like they dropped bowling balls. I don't know. They were weighted balls onto panes of glass.
Okay, sure.
Below them. And so basically they would do it with one. They showed you like a 12-pound ball, and they dropped it, and you saw it broke six panes of glass. And then they're like, well, here's three other versions that we're going to have you predict how many panes of glass are going to be broken. Right? So... Yeah. It's straight up math, and basically they get back to their little house they live in, and there's a whiteboard with all the parts of the different equations that they need, the weight of the balls, the distance, blah, blah, blah. And one of the girls works for NASA. So she's like, oh, I got this. right? So, yep, there's the whiteboard on the DJ New Style live feed with absolutely no mathematical equations whatsoever on
it. Just the answer, 372.
Yeah, so they had to figure out these three math problems. And the girl from NASA, after the first round, got every single one wrong and came in last place out of five people. The other four people was like a someone who blogged about World of Warcraft. She won. Another girl wrote science books, but she came in second to last. This other guy that had a podcast or something, and sure.
So basically, it's just random people that claim to be nerds actually finally doing a goddamn nerdy challenge.
Right.
I'm sick of the definition of nerd being like, oh, he likes obscure comics, so you're a nerd.
No, that's a geek.
Well, what is the name of the show, Steve?
King of the Nerds.
And what are some of the other goddamn challenges? Cosplay? Oh, you can wear a fucking costume?
Well, that's geek.
Oh, you can do fucking dance, whatever the fuck that bullshit is?
Twirl around
like a fucking queen in front of a fucking a green screen?
Right.
Who gives a shit? You like stupid fucking things. Congratulations.
So the girl got that lost from NASA came in last. Basically, the person who wins gets to name someone to go to the final, and the other contestants name someone to go to the final challenge.
Yeah.
So the girl tells all the other contestants, she's like, just send me. She's like, I work at NASA. I have to redeem myself. And, they send this other girl, the girl who writes science books or whatever, and they're like, they just wanted to get rid of her. That's why they sent her. So the last challenge was build a tower out of random shit.
Yeah.
And get a 10-foot tower, or whoever has the higher one in 10 minutes wins.
But who do you think would win if they were tasked with building a trebuchet? 316-768-4472. That's the number to call if you want to be on the show. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Steve the LARPer. Who's this?
This is Clayton from Texas. How are you guys?
Clayton, very nice to hear from you. We're doing well. At least I'm doing
What's up,
well.
Clayton?
I don't know how Steve is doing.
Steve's doing great.
Yes, he is.
I wanted to call because, talk about King of Nerds. What an interesting concept. But something I wanted to Steve to think about is a nerd and nerd culture is, you say, somebody from NASA or something like that, is when you go to college and you spend time in engineering, the joke amongst, I'll say, intellectuals is that the more you learn, the less you know. What that means,
well, because you get too self-assured. You get too self-assured with your own intelligence.
No. It's actually much more simpler. Is that like when you start off in general studies and you work your way up to, let's say some type of engineering, and then you go off into other things. You don't practice the simple concepts anymore. You're on to higher level things, and so consequently, you may not necessarily remember some of the basic principles anymore because you don't need that. You're beyond. Beyond that concept now. So you don't remember. So you come off looking stupid to somebody who go, well, how do you not know that? You're a high-level physicist. Well, shit, I don't do that. I don't do that for a living, so I don't remember it.
Well, here's the thing. This is a young girl. She's probably 25-ish who currently works at NASA and who said, as soon as they said it was the physics challenge, she's like, I got this in the bag. And she's like, everything is up in my head, and she's pointing to her head. She's like, all the equations are up here, and I will do awesome at this.
But here's the thing, Steve.
She got knocked off the episode.
You would probably go into an episode of the show doesn't even exist, but are you smarter than a fifth grader? You'd go in there very confident, I bet, but they would come up with some shit, and you'd lose.
No, that show, I would be more confident on Jeopardy than Are You Smarter Than the Fifth
But
Grade.
The principle is the same as what Clayton was saying, that like you're so far beyond the shit that you learned in fifth grade.
No, I agree, but I'm saying...
That's why most people don't fucking do well.
I'm just saying, this girl was so overconfident that, she acted like she didn't, miss a beat.
Well, and understand, too, when you say overconfident, it's all edited on TV. There's no telling in concept what she was trying to say.
Right.
But also too, like, because I've done quiz shows before, like TV and stuff like that. If you slowed down and asked me a question, I'd go, oh, that's it. But when you put a timer and you put things on the pressure, it gets a lot different. And for example, and Ken joking about a trebuchet or whatever, I'm sitting down trying to calculate what length I want to start off with and all those kind of things. And, you know, you sit down with a piece of paper. I know this shit. It's just a matter of sitting down going, all right, you know, you got to reinvent the wheel a little bit. And then as I'm walking, people go, what are you doing? And I sit there and I calculated how long it has to be. And everybody, how did you do that? And I said, well, this is all simple geometry, but since you don't, most adults don't use this shit anymore, it, you know, it's just stuck away in a file cabinet, you know?
No, I agree, because I think there's a lot of, because I know I learned a lot of formulas in the time that I went to school, because I was in AP Calculus, AP Physics, and it was I don't remember most of those formulas. I'm going to say more than 50%. I don't remember them. I did at one point know them, but I don't remember it now, but the whole point was that this girl, you know, she currently works for NASA. She says she put satellites in space and lost two of the challenges in physics, one being pure math.
Okay, but don't you think that maybe they just fucking made it, tilted it for the fucking kid? Don't you think maybe for the excitement? Think of it this way.
Second challenge, yes.
If the supposed NASA engineer...
She came in dead last out of five people, too.
If the NASA engineer won, you would not be mentioning this fucking thing on the show.
Well, right, because I assume people who work at NASA know physics.
You also assume that that person really works at NASA. And that this isn't just a two-bit fucking reality show that sucks balls.
I think it's real.
That's hosted by Gilbert and fucking Booger. Fucking Revenge of the Nerds.
Right, and it's not exactly NASA of 1968 either. It's like NASA of 2013. Yeah, there's no telling what the fuck they're doing over there.
Yeah, it's the unfunded NASA where they go to work wearing baseball jerseys and not the fucking white button-downs with the pocket protector and the black glasses.
Or the culturally diverse, making sure we have an equal number of men and women. And we don't want to make sure we don't want the best students, trust me, like government jobs like that.
If I'm going to pick a NASA, I want the fucking chain smoking no fucking broads allowed NASA of the 60s. That's what I want deciding where fucking things are going to go in space.
To be fair, that's what I want. To be fair to Clayton's argument, she was a young black lady and her name was Mujige.
What?
Well, but I tell you what, here's another aspect of nerds culture too that is very interesting. Like, I know a couple, we'll use the word hillbillies, right? If you ask them to build something like a trebuchet or build a spud launcher, those sons of bitches could sit around because, number one, they know how to use the tools and they'll make some fucking contraptions. I've seen it, dude. They build crossbows.
They also don't care if it fucking injures somebody.
have no idea of what forces and how it works. They just if I do that works, well, who would win that challenge? Well, those guys are just creative and know how to use the tools. Yeah. But they have no idea what the hell they just built.
No, well, that's can you make it work? Which, with hillbilly ingenuity, which is exactly what that is. I mean, there's a term for it. It's called hillbilly ingenuity, and I would not test it because I have seen it work and I know it works, and I would not put it past hillbillies to have, you know, great technical skill, not knowing why, but they would know how to make it work.
Absolutely.
Which is good in and of itself. I mean, if you can make something that does work, who gives a shit why? Who gives a shit?
Get your goddamn job done, tell you what, goddamn. Yeah. Take the fucking goddamn 2x4, fold it back in half.
But these guys have built this sophisticated moonshine system to be able to distill goddamn alcohol, and they act like reading books is goddamn nerds.
Yeah, you know, they're doing fucking chemistry.
Yeah, high level of chemistry they're actually doing.
They're criminal chemists making their fucking meth and their illegal fucking moonshine. But book learning is for fucking queers.
Yeah, for queers, we're building 100-proof alcohol out in the middle of the goddamn woods and, you know, building cars that are practically on rockets just to run away from the cops. It's amazing. Well,
Clayton, are we going to be treated to a live episode of Bug Zapper Radio this week?
Yes, sir.
So Bug Zapper Radio will be live tomorrow night on heroestalk.com. That's 10:30 Eastern. 10:30 Eastern, heroestalk.com, Bug Zapper Radio. Is it too early to announce the creation that you've put into existence, Clayton?
No, absolutely. Go ahead, by all means.
Are you, like, on the fucking rails right now, eating a can of beans? What was that?
What?
I thought, I thought I just heard a fucking train.
I can just picture Clayton with a stick and like that little, you know, like tied thing in the back over his shoulder with a little piece of grass coming out of his mouth chasing down the train.
Warming his hands over a fire that he made.
Goddamn, I live in a town with a train. Who'd have thought of that?
I'm sorry, Clayton. You know? It was just so loud, I thought you might have been on the motherfucker.
No,
there it is.
It's
That's great. That was perfect timing on the train's part.
So you've made an online creation for your show. Are you ready to debut it, or would you rather save it for your show?
No, by all means, bugzapradio.com. It's in the fucking bag.
It's launched. The soft launch has happened. It's bugzapradio.com. Finally, an official home for one of the finest podcasts the internet has ever seen, Bug Zapper Radio.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. And a Skype account is being procured, and so we will start probably, if not tomorrow, we will probably start next week with punk show phone calls just to kind of get the ball rolling. But I would assume by sometime in March we will be accepting live phone calls. So
awesome.
I get to argue with people about why I think they're wrong, but it's great.
It's a great advancement for Heroes Talk and for your show as well, Clayton. You'll be live tomorrow night, 10:30 Eastern on HeroesTalk.com. That's Bug Zapper Radio. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him on Facebook. Both of those are Bug Zapper Radio.
Bye. Talk to you later.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for calling in. 316-768-4472. That's if you want to call the show. You don't have to.
I thought we had another caller.
We don't, but I'm just putting it out there because, you know, some people, sometimes they like to call in.
I hear the number.
And I like to talk to them. It's fine.
It's like a ringtone for me. When you say those numbers, it's like a ringtone in my head. Like someone's calling.
Steve, we connect with our listeners. We mention things in passing. Sometimes we spend a little bit too much time on them. But invariably, some of these topics will come back to us in some way. For example, today I got a message from our buddy Jay Carter, who sent me a link to a group on Facebook. And his message, and I want to read it exactly, so if you give me a second. He said, "Here, send them a picture of the knot on your head and beg for acceptance." And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
A Melungeon? Sounds like a Melungeon. I heard knot on your head.
He sent me a Facebook group link. To
Melungeons?
To a group called Melungeons Unite. 162 members strong, Melungeons Unite, a closed group that you have to prove your Melungeon-ness.
Wait, how do you prove it?
Well, they have a little thing here, a description that says, for all those who suspect they may be of Melungeon ancestry and wish to test it, if you stand with your feet and knees together, then lower yourself to the ground while keeping your
feet... Wait, what? How do you put your feet and knees... Oh, like... Your
Steve, don't be fucking dumb. Just listen.
And your knees touch each other.
Just listen. These are Melungeons we're talking about here. This is not fucking NASA science. This is not fucking engineering. This is Melungeon ingenuity. all those who suspect... By the way, this is how they determine genetics. Okay? This is their litmus test for ancestry. For all those who suspect they may be of Melungeon ancestry wish to test it, stand up.
Got it.
With your feet and knees together.
All right, they are.
Then lower yourself to the ground while keeping your feet flat and maintaining balance successfully. Can you do this?
Lower myself to the ground?
Lower yourself to the ground. I guess bend at the knees until you're on the ground while balancing.
Just leaning over with my hands. So keep your feet and knees together and then, like, squat, I guess?
Yeah.
If you can keep your feet and knees together.
It's not easy. Listen.
Your knees go apart.
You see?
I have a cock in between my legs, so it's hard to do that.
Well, you got
to
do a little tuck back, like Jane Gum in fucking Silence of the Lambs. Just do it.
I'm not a Melungeon. No, I'm not doing it again.
Would you fuck me? That type of thing. And it says, if you can do this, there's a good chance that, by the way, this is the whole sentence. There's a good chance that you are 12% Melungeon.
12%?
There's a chance that you're 12%.
Is that the greatest percentage Melungeon
It's not a chance that you are a Melungeon. It's a chance that you have 12% Melungeon blood.
I could be. I could be.
I need to join this fucking group, so I'm going to. I'm actually going to join Melungeons Unite.
Tell them you did it, and you can post a video. No. Just say you did it.
Actually, I probably shouldn't join this fucking thing. If God forbid I'm ever looking for a job in the future, and I have a potential Melungeon boss.
Do it on your DJ News style page.
Who is deeply offended by this.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Melungeons Unite. It's not even like a Facebook.com/Melungeons. It's like Facebook.com/groups and then like a fucking crazy number. I'll post it on the blog at some point. And yeah, connecting with our listeners. That's what we get. We mentioned Melungeons last week. We get groups that we can join to fraternize with actual Melungeons.
Well,
I want in just to see what they fucking talk about.
Right. I want a Melungeon.
These triracial, sub-Saharan African, European, and fucking Appalachian natives.
Yeah, I don't think I'm sub-Saharan African at all.
You look like you could be, Steve.
No. Come on.
I could place you in like...
Sub-Saharan Africa? What, like Ghana?
You might have some... You have
Do
some
I look
African
like I'm
features.
From Zimbabwe?
You have some African features. I'm not
No,
gonna...
I have no African features whatsoever.
Okay. I don't know.
Well, no, I have one.
That's terrible. That is probably the worst joke to ever make in the company of guys when you claim to be a heterosexual man. When you brag about your cock size and you're just talking to another dude, it's a little bit gay. I'm not gonna disparage the gays. Maybe you like that stuff. But Steven.
I don't hate the gays. I like the gays. They're funny.
They are a little funny, aren't they?
Because usually they're comedians.
What do you mean usually they're comedians?
Most gays that I know of that are very popular are comedians.
Oh, okay, now you're qualifying it. Like you just made it seem like the minute a dude sucks a dick, he's gotta have 15 minutes on how zany his fucking friends are.
Well, I bet you they all have that.
Anyway, just awful. So Melungeons Unite on Facebook. And also, Steven, the question that remains to be asked and answered, and the most important question. Was Elvis a Melungeon?
Well,
no answers.
We may never know.
Essays have been written. No one knows.
I think we'll figure out how many licks it takes to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop.
And maybe I can ask Michael Evan Briggs on YouTube.
Who is that? A Melungeon researcher?
Well, no. He's a man who's found a way to fix CD scratches.
Oh.
Okay. We weren't going to mention this guy, but I feel like I have to. I know every now and then I'll check my mentions and interactions on Twitter, and I just happened to see that someone named CD Doctor CD or something like that. I think his name is Mr. McIntosh or something on Twitter. I honestly don't even fucking know what the fuck his username is. Let me just see. I'm gonna actually give everybody the name.
Mr. McIntosh seems like the guy that plays against the kids on South Park and WoW. The one that's always leaning back and fucking just typing with a hand brace on.
If you decide to contact this man, please realize that I think you're dealing with an actual frightening person.
That's what I'm saying.
I caution you in communicating with him because he seems like he's actually fucked up. This is the, like... Here's what happened. His name is H.M. Mr. McIntosh on Twitter. H.M. Mr. That's M.R. McIntosh on Twitter. Frightening guy. I noticed he followed me. I saw his description. And it just says, baking soda, mix water to paste, put on CDs, rub paper towel, then wash with soap, blow dry, then apply turtle wax, blow dry. For scratches, computer, game, and DVD. That's what his biography is on Twitter. That's what he says he is. So I also see his link.
So maybe there's just a very easy way to clean CDs, and he just wants to get his point across to as many people as possible.
Exactly. So I was intrigued. I'm like, well, it's 2013. Who really gives a shit about a scratch CD?
I do.
I know you do, because you have 17 shirts from 97 and a fucking 100-disc CD changer in your 1996 Accord or whatever the fuck it is.
99.
99 Civic.
Civic.
So he had a YouTube link. So I figured, oh, maybe he's got some tutorials here. He seems like an interesting character. Maybe he'll have an interesting YouTube channel. His YouTube address is, let me just go to this here. Hold on a second. It's Michael Evans Briggs. Michael Evans Briggs on YouTube.
Sounds like a murderer's name.
You know, hey, like, listen, I think the guy is John dedicated. The guy is dedicated to scratching CDs. You know, you've seen some tutorial videos on YouTube, right? A lot of people are very helpful, right? So
me? No, I like disco pods. I don't look for that shit. I've seen people try to clean CDs with bananas.
Yeah. So well, anyway, this guy has this video on YouTube.
What do we have here? A CD holder. With a CD on it.
Oh, my God.
This process will fix computer CDs, DVD CDs.
DVD CDs?
Was she a great big fat person?
Music CDs, game CDs, DVDs.
It rubs the baking soda on the scratch. No. It does this whenever it skips. You know,
it's not even a CD. It's a CD.
Armored Hammer.
Like you're saying S-E-E-D-Y, CD.
You just stepped on something I think was very funny.
And some water.
Armored Hammer. The way he says Armored Hammer is fucking great.
Armored Hammer.
Armored Hammer. And so basically he fucking stirs the shit, makes a paste. And just
take your paper towel.
Yeah. Oh, paper towel.
Start rubbing.
I could do a great impression of this guy. It's very easy.
Yeah, just do the.
What you want to do?
Buffalo Bill.
What you want to do?
Wash it.
Do an impression now. Go.
What you want to do? Wash it.
Let's hear that now. Let's hear him say it.
Do. After your scratches are gone, wash it with soap, liquid soap, defibrillate.
Did he say defibrillate, or did he say very liberally?
I think he said defibrillate. Let's hear it.
Liquid soap, defibrillate.
So get your defibrillator out and attach it to both sides.
Check for a pulse and take the paddles and yell clear.
Wow.
So basically, I watched this video. He is in a dilapidated home and he's rubbing this baking soda solution on a fucking CD that has no scratches. And he's saying, take turtle wax and dry it. With the non-lotion fucking blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then so I'm like, let me just take a look at this guy's channel. And I went to it. And he has a ton of unwatched videos.
Unwatched? Like zero watches?
Now they have a few because I've been frightened and scared and watching this. You know when you watch a horror movie and you want to get the shit scared out of you a little bit? Well, I'm watching this potential murderer. he has a fucking a cardboard cylinder, and the video is called Elephant. This is one of the videos.
Is he killing someone?
He's standing on the grass outside of his home. Or potentially at a park somewhere doing this. I don't know. And he's got a
the park could be his home.
He's got a tube of wrapping paper, and he's just screaming into it to sound like an elephant. This is youtube.com/Michael Evans Briggs.
Yeah, he sounds like someone about that would go into history books as a murderer of someone else. Oh, Michael Evans Briggs.
Like the name DJ has historical. Has historical significance.
Yeah.
Michael Evans Briggs. Well, okay. So then I'm looking at this, and there are some videos that have like references to Lisa Marie Presley on it. And
is this a Melungeon video?
I initially thought that. I was actually continuing my research of Melungeons in their ancestry. And I figured that since Elvis is maybe a Melungeon, perhaps Lisa Marie is at least half Melungeon.
Yep.
There's no word on her mother, Priscilla. I can't tell. It's not definitive whether or not she's a Melungeon. But I'm just going along and trying to further my research. So I see this video that says, to Lisa Marie Presley.
He dedicated one of these to her?
He dedicated this to her. This is what he'd sent to her.
Hi, my name is Michael Gray. I am
well, Stevie. Press.
Do hope you do look over my videos. Had a very, very good day. Like I said in the 1970s, roses are red, violets are blue. I love you. Said that to Lisa Marie Presley on the phone in the 1970s, my folks. I talked to her dad, Elvis Presley, too. Have a very good day, my friends. Listen to the song here.
It's not easy to hear, and I think that contributes to the frightening nature of it. But I implore you, go to youtube.com/MichaelEvansBriggs and look at all of his videos. This is the most frightening person I've ever encountered on Twitter. And I just wanted to see if what the guy was about, you know? I just wanted to see what he was into, because he started following me for some reason. I hope he doesn't think that I'm a Melungeon or that I'm a descendant of Elvis. That he's going to try and come after me for money, because he has another video. He has several videos dedicated to Lisa Marie Presley, and there's one that actually is called Lisa Marie Presley, I Want My Money, Please. Here it is. Oh, for Christ's sakes.
Come on.
Hold on a second.
Lisa Presley, I want my money. Lisa Presley, I want my money, please. Lisa Marie Presley, I want my money, please.
He's just staring into the camera, Steve, and just saying that three times. And that's recent. That was September 4th he posted this shit. I don't know what to make of it. So I looked further into his video, Steve.
Yeah.
And he is a goddamn fucking loony bird, this guy. If you couldn't guess by now, this is the most telling evidence of him being absolutely psychotic. Listen to this video. I think I played this one for you. But here it is.
Hi. My name is Michael Briggs. I'm the inventor of Intel, inventor of Apple Incorporated. I talked to the first inventor who got stock and left Apple. I talked to
the
Steve
first
Jobs.
Inventor. So he was the second inventor.
He talked to the first inventor.
Yeah. So which would make him
himself? Yeah. Actually, hold on. Let's go back and hear that.
Apple Incorporated. I'm the inventor of Intel, inventor of Apple Incorporated. I talked to the first inventor who got stock and left Apple.
Oh, so he's qualifying it. He spoke to the first inventor who happened to have gotten stock and left. The first
maybe he reinvented Apple.
Oh.
I talked to Steve Jobs. I talked to Bill Gates III. On the phone at Apple to start Microsoft Corporation. I started Hewlett Packard. And I started IBM. Because it sounds like my name if you look at it. I. Briggs Michael.
What?
They made the laser for me. I told them how to do it.
They made it for him because he was the only one who knew how to do it. So he had to tell them how to do it, and they did it for him.
I told them how to do it. They made the laser for me. I told them how to do it. They made the laser.
They made the laser for me. I told them how to do it.
Just creepy.
Have a good day.
I hope you have a good day after hearing all of this shit I just told you.
Have a good day. Yeah, and you think that's nuts? Here's another one. This is the final video I'm playing. I just need to alert people like this, because if you accumulate followers and you never look into them, you'd be missing this frightening shit. Like, Amanda likes a channel called Investigation Discoveries.
Yeah.
They play little personal videos of the killer involved in crimes that they posted out there. Like, they have the dramatizations, they have the actor that looks much better than the real killer.
Killer on some random video.
And then occasionally they have like real content involving the real guy. Like if he had a blog, if he had videos like this, for example, the Marcus Applewhite from Heaven's Gate, that video would be played on there.
Right.
This is the type of shit that you absolutely see after they went through at length for an hour describing how a female bus driver was gutted and fucking worn as a Halloween costume. So here's one of the videos, the last one I'm going to play ever.
Hi. Me and Elvis Presley came up with NASDAQ between 1975 and
Elvis
Presley was so into the stock market.
And financial genius Elvis Aaron Presley came up with NASDAQ in 1975.
Elvis just had this hankering for a tertiary stock market exchange.
Here it is.
That wasn't presently implemented.
Exactly. Here it is.
All
right. Let me tell you something. This Dow Jones bullshit. Fucking goddamn. We need our own motherfucking market.
There ain't anything American about the AMX.
What do you think we should call it, Briggs? What should we call it, Briggs?
Hunka hunka burning stock love.
I think we should call it NASDAQ.
going to sleep.
That's a good day, my friends.
That's what NASDAQ sounds like, a fucking axe murderer falling asleep whilst talking to himself.
And in this video, he's got like a sculpture that's like a face.
Then it's a bust.
Shouts to Goofy Bone for checking this shit out. Goofy Bone is a good dude. Here's the rest of this video.
Hi. Me and Elvis Presley came up with NASDAQ between 1975 and 1976 to be on a stock board exchange. We started Samsung, Rockford Crossgate.
What was that last one?
I don't know. I didn't hear that. It was like Crossgate.
Samsung, Rockford Crossgate.
Rockford Fosgate, but it's Rockford.
Atmos fires for the cars. Home stereos.
Oh.
Speaker systems.
Yeah, he invented speaker systems. There was no such thing as a speaker system.
Yeah, well, once he hooked up with Elvis, there was a definite need, because he's been a professional singer, but no one's been able to hear him. So they had to come up with a means to fill that void.
This guy is obviously a vampire who has lived over 4,000 years and came up with the original speaker system. Because they didn't have that.
Have a very good day, my friends.
Okay, hold on. This will haunt my nightmares. This exact sound clip right here.
Sounds like a Transformer.
Transformer. Jesus Christ. Here it is. Come on, YouTube. Suck my fucking...
Have a good day, my friend.
Have a good day, my friend. And you know what? I would never have thought that people like this existed. Never.
Oh.
Never.
These people have existed all my life.
Have a very good day, my friend.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Very good. Oh, my God. I went to a different tab, and it played later. Holy shit.
I was about to say, you know what would be the most frightening thing ever? If you just randomly heard that voice in your head.
I'm going to make
it just played out of nowhere.
Like, I don't get very many video messages or like picture messages. If I could set the exact message.
I just imagine that tab randomly opening on its own.
On my phone, whenever if I have the ability to set a different tone for a text that has media in it, something I don't get very often. Yeah. Make it that tone and just put it under Amanda's pillow.
God.
And text myself pictures.
You are an evil bastard.
Have a very good day, my friend.
It wouldn't even faze her. She watches so many fucking murder police shows and fucking cop shows and horrendous crime shows and leaves it on while she sleeps. I think a good dream for her is a fucking nightmare. There's no way she can have pleasant sleep with that shit.
Does she watch a lot of, what are they, the forensic shows?
Yeah, and mostly investigation discoveries.
Oh, so it's more like a ghost show thing, or
no? It's actual murders. Some of the shows.
Well, murders.
Let me give you a fucking rundown.
So you have a girlfriend that watches a lot of shows about murdering people and how you get caught murdering people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now let me just show you the schedule of this wonderful show, wonderful station. It's a network dedicated to this shit.
It's Discovery.
This presentation.
Oh, shut the fuck up! Nobody gives a fuck.
It's fucking Discovery Channel. Come on.
No, it's Investigation Discovery.
If you're looking good.
Yeah, but it's a Discovery Channel.
That's true. It's a Discovery Channel property.
Tributary.
Here are some of the shows that they have. 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, Behind Mansion Walls, Blood, Lies, and Alibis, Dates from Hell, Final Cut, Fatal Vows, Wives with Knives, Fatal Encounters, Evil, Deadly Sins, Deadly Women, Desperate Measures.
Deadly Women, Wives with Knives, this is what your girlfriend watches?
She watches all this shit. There's also, don't forget, Very Bad Men, Unusual Suspects, Who the Bleep Did I Marry?
It's always the guy that's wrong in that show.
Oh, yeah, there's Frenemies, Sins and Secrets. This is a fucking trash bag of a network designed to scare the shit out of people.
No, it's designed to make women kill their significant others, I think.
But it's all. They don't have very many episodes. They have a lot of actual series, but they don't have very many episodes. So, like,
right.
Very often I will have seen an episode a few times.
Well, yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. But you know what I think is scary about this?
Oh, you know, what do you think is scary?
Say a woman is on the verge of killing her husband, and she has like a really weird reason. And then, like, the show comes on, and they're like, yep, this woman killed her husband because of this weird reason that you're contemplating about killing your own husband. Mm. And then it happens again. Like, I think it's bad that they kind of bring to light that someone would kill their husband or kill someone else or, like, be bitchy about random shit. That someone else is bitchy about.
He was just so odd and standoffish. Here I am. I just told him that his wife was dead, and all he could say was,
"Have a good day."
What?
Have a good day.
Oh, have a very good day, my friend.
Oh, Christ, is it creepy?
It sounds like Bane. Have a very good day, my friend.
Yeah.
Like when Bane says that, it's the same as when that guy says that, because you know it's not going to be a good day.
No.
You know it's going to be awful, and it's going to be riddled with terrorism and dying.
Like, if you bumped into him, and he said that to you, it would be as frightening as when Kevin McAllister ran into the snow shovel man.
I would go home and go to sleep as fast as I possibly could and as safely as
remember possible. The scene in Home Alone when Kevin McAllister saw the guy that carried the salt around the neighborhood, the scary guy with the shovel, they claimed murdered everybody. Well, he at one point he just turns around and just see he's faced with this guy. He's inches away from this fucking this homeless bum dragging a metal garbage can. If that guy said,
"I have a very good day, my friend,"
you would never sleep again.
No, Kevin McAllister would
not. No matter how many times you chant, "I'm not afraid anymore! I'm not afraid anymore!" No matter how many times you did that shit, you'd be frightened and shitting your fucking little drawers. Fuck yeah. Exactly. Well, Steve, so I would never have known that people like that actually existed beyond the internet, like in the real world.
No, there's more people beyond the internet that act like that than are on the internet. That's why I fear people that aren't on the internet.
Well, yeah, but what I said was I wouldn't have known this. Well, they may be out there, see? I have not been faced with them.
And there's every kind of fucked up person out there. Just live knowing that fact.
Sure. Great, Steve. What I'm doing is I'm trying to segue into the final fucking segment of the night, and you're just not letting me. You're fucking Martin Brodeur-ing my fucking entrance into this goddamn segment every fucking time I do it. I keep saying, I would never have known that this type of person ever fucking exists. And you're like, well, they always exist. So fuck.
What kind of people I've
seen? Whatever goes.
I've seen some types of people. Now, go ahead. Keep going.
Every time I have my fucking foot in the door and you're just slamming me at the fucking ankle,
cock blocking the show.
Yeah,
go Jesus. Ahead say what you gotta say. Can you say it? Can you do it without stuttering?
Of course. And I wasn't stuttering any of the other times. You just fucking jumped in and not sensed that I was fucking ready to say this.
Are you ready?
Oh, Steve, why do you fucking do this?
I'm just drawing it out. Go ahead.
No. I'm concerned because we started late. So what that means is the brew has gotten time to just fucking take you over.
No. We've had more time that we have to cover. That's what that means. If we start early, we can end the show early. Just like going to work.
No, here's what I'm pointing out. Later on in the show, you're very, like, contrary.
Belligerent.
Contrary.
I'm always contrary, though.
When you get drunk, particularly, you're
okay,
more
maybe more contrary than normal.
You don't let any fucking thing slide, is what I'm saying.
I don't think you should.
I don't give a fuck. I know people like that exist. I'm just trying to get into the last fucking part of the show.
You should never let anything slide. I don't think you should. I don't think you should let an in-truth keep going. People hate me on Facebook for this reason. Like, when they had that picture, did you see that picture when they caught a lamprey in New Jersey? The guy has, like, a bolt from, like, a crossbow with a string on it, and he's holding up this fish, and it's got, like, a weird mouth. Have you seen that? No?
I might have.
And I had a friend who said, oh, sea monster caught in New Jersey. I'm like, it's not a fucking sea monster. It's a trick of perspective to make it look large, because he's holding it right next to the camera on the end of the arrow. And it's a sea lamprey, and sea lampreys commonly get into New Jersey waters if you're fishing near the ocean.
Okay.
Right? So I put something to that effect on
this thing where it's on a hook, and it looks like a big fucking a schlong with blood on it.
It's all bloody.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, it's a sea lamprey. And he's like, and my this is not even really a friend. It's, college associate, but he goes, if you're going to be a negative Nancy or a Kelly corrector, I'm not going to have any fun on Facebook.
First of all,
I'm like, what?
He's gone as soon as he has fucking negative Nancy or Kelly corrector. At the first Kelly, instance of that, you're gone.
Kelly corrector? Yeah.
Gone.
You know what? I don't know, because I know this kid, and I don't know if that was sarcastic. I think it's sarcastic, but I've added another at least 2 minutes to the cock block at the end of the segment that you wanted
to
get
I'm not going
to
even do it now. No, it's because if you had just let me go, you know what I mean? If you had just let me go, it would have been an okay segment, but now that it's been held up, it's not worth fucking doing. You know what I mean? It's a complete letdown. It could have evolved into something.
You have no confidence in yourself to just get it on.
No, it's not that. It's that I shouldn't be surprised that it was ruined, is what I'm saying.
Just get on with it.
There's no reason in saying it now.
No, come on. I'm interested. I'm interested in what you had to say after I...
How could you possibly be interested? You know every fucking topic that we have.
No, I don't. I forget. You think I remember everything yesterday? Yeah. I remember about 10% of the things we talked about yesterday.
Well, I'm just unmotivated, is what it is.
You shouldn't be.
Why shouldn't I be, Steve?
Why should you be?
How the fuck is that an answer to why shouldn't I be?
It's a good Jewish answer.
Christ.
Come on.
You're on a talk show, and you're going to just fucking ping-pong questions back and forth. You say a comment, you say something, I ask you why, and you just say, well, why shouldn't you be? You're not a fucking Zen master. You're not my fucking life coach. Okay. Don't try to teach me a lesson. If you're going to give me fucking advice, fucking tell me why you feel that way.
You just said, I'm not your life coach, so I don't know why you should be so tired and not able to...
I didn't say tired. I said unmotivated.
I'm not your life coach, and I don't know why you're unmotivated, because if I was your life coach, you'd be a lot more motivated than you are right now.
Wow, look at this. Look at this, Steve. So I say I'm unmotivated, and you actually told me, well, you shouldn't be. And you have no basis for why you said that.
I said, why shouldn't you be?
Oh, I thought you said you should be. Or no, you shouldn't be.
Why shouldn't you be?
I'm sorry. We just argued for 45 seconds for no reason. Shit.
At least you cleared that up.
Yeah, I did. See? I don't need a life coach,
Steve. Come on. Get on with it.
No, what I'm getting to is that I have a lot of things that I want to get to. A lot of things that I would love to work on, that I'm excited to work on. But at the same time, I have a lot of things that I have to do.
What would you like to?
I'd like to get back to programming for HeroesTalk.com for some things that I was working on for Truth Time Theater, which honestly I promised a long time ago and have been unable to deliver. You know, there's some side development things. I'd like to redesign.
So you want to do some personal web development and have a little fun with it, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you consider that fun because you do a web development job? Would you find doing stuff for this show, just fun? Or is it still work?
No, to me...
Or is it more fun but still work?
I love it. If it's for me, it's enjoyable. Because I'm furthering my knowledge and shit like that. And I'm actually using it. Like, somebody who works as an artist, I'm sure they still enjoy painting.
Well, I think they're painting either way if they're an artist, aren't they?
Well, yeah, exactly. But if they're like a graphic designer, all right,
if they're commissioned to do,
if they're a graphic designer and they're in a firm working on ad campaigns, I'm sure they still enjoy creating art for themselves.
Right. So
if you're passionate about something and you enjoy it and you derive joy from it, even though you happen to do that professionally and make money from that, you could still do it for yourself.
So it's more fun when you're not forced into a goal.
Yeah.
And the goal is your own.
True. But the point is, there's so much shit that I have to get done that I'm almost getting bogged down and just not paying attention to the shit that I have to do and kind of being, you know, a complainer that I'm not doing the shit that I want to do. So
is that on all levels or just doing the
personal
stuff?
No, pretty much just personal life, home, all that shit. So I partially finished this room, and now I have a place to escape everything.
Do you have a chair?
No, I don't have a chair. I'm on a fucking bouncing ball.
Okay.
And I didn't mention it because I didn't want to get fucking shit from Clayton.
I just asked
like I did last
one
week.
Simple question. That's
I'm fighting bouncing right now.
You could have just said no.
When this camera's off, I'm bouncing like a motherfucker. All right? I am doing my best not to bounce. I want to look like I'm seated on an actual structure and not a fucking
large
ball.
No, you've done a
ball.
Great job the entire video feed.
Thank you. I'm glad my efforts are coming through.
Bounce.
It's true. It's very difficult because it's kind of fun. But there's a lot of shit I have to do. Like, I'm putting off finishing this room. I have to hang pictures. I hung a fucking whiteboard and wrote the episode number on it tonight, but I have to hang some pictures. We have to put some crown molding up. We have to get new doors. Yeah, 372 is on it right now.
Yeah, that looks like a very weak door. Is that one of those ones where you could probably just, walk through it?
It's a hollow core door. It's the one that was here. So that's a closet door. We need to get new doors. We need to do, more shit. But it's a room I can use now.
You like it. You said you liked it.
I do. Right. I come in here and I can escape the shit that I have to do. It's not in my face. Like, this is...
Wait, what are you escaping from? What exactly are you escaping from?
It's just everything that I have to do. So I can come in here and I can work on shit for the show. And I can stay focused. But I'm only really focusing on the shit that I want to do. So now I'm looking around, and I realize I have to get motivated. I have to at least finish this room and just fucking move on. So what I have to do...
What does the room need?
The room needs some more furniture. It needs some trim and all that stuff. I have the crown molding. We have to install that, but...
The chair is not on that list at all?
I have the chair. I don't have the mat. That's on the list.
Oh. How long have you had the chair with no mat?
We already mentioned this. Anyway, I need a bookshelf. I need a thing to put printers and shit on. So I don't want to spend a lot of money because it's an office. It's not gonna get too worn out. So we went to IKEA, and we started looking around, and we saw a few things we liked, but we didn't get anything because we don't have a car that we can use to bring it home. Right. We need to somehow coerce my father into either driving us there, which won't happen.
Borrowing
his truck, which will never fucking happen.
Really?
Let me tell you that really? Shit will never happen. My dad is a great driver. He's proud of his driving skills.
He sounds like me. I don't.
He
like
will
letting
not.
Part anyone.
He will not entrust that vehicle,
even to his son.
To me, no.
Wow.
And you know what? I wouldn't want to because if anything happened to this fucking truck,
that's it. Let me tell you there's something. Already this austerity belt around it that I wouldn't even want to bother trying.
I wouldn't even want to. I wouldn't want to because the off chance that something is out of place, something is scraped. He knows. He keeps his car very, very, very clean, nicely. He takes care of it. Loves that car. I'm not Cameron. I'm not Cameron from fucking Ferris Bueller's Day Off trying to fucking rebel. And act like he treats it better than his family. He doesn't. He just happens to take very good care of it. And if anything happened, he would not be pleased.
So who's your go-to person if you need a truck?
If it's not 40 minutes or an hour away, it would be my dad. He's just not interested in going to IKEA. IKEA is a little far for us. So anyway, we go there just to look. And I seem to remember something that you mentioned about the meatballs. That they have there. They have a goddamn cafeteria. They have a place where you can eat food there. And recently...
You can get Ligonberries.
You can get Ligonberries, but you can also get meatballs.
Good, I love Ligonberries.
You can get meatballs that supposedly come from a meat supplier that had trace horse meat. Horse genes or whatever the fuck found in it.
Yeah,
horse
DNA.
Meatballs.
Horse DNA.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not eating here. I don't care if I get hungry. I'm not going to eat here. We're looking around 30 minutes. We get lost in there, come out of some aisle, and I start smelling like barbecue sauce and shit. Because they also sell ribs. I see some Asian man eating this fresh salmon plate. I'm like, that looks kind of good.
I don't think I've ever been to an IKEA.
And I see the meatball platter with the gravy and the mashed potatoes and shit. I'm like, fuck, I am fucking starving.
This is so weird. This is your tale of a trip to a furniture store, and you're talking about barbecue, meatballs, and ribs.
I'm talking about IKEA, America's favorite restaurant, IKEA. Let me tell you, that fucking cafeteria was goddamn jammed. And I'm like, well, nobody's...
No, I know people that go there for all sorts of different food, and it's weird. It just seems weird.
And I'm in there, and I'm like, well, nobody's getting the meatballs. And I'm looking around, everybody's getting the fucking meatballs, and I look at the menu, and they have a sticker over the top of it. Just stuck right on it.
Horse meat free.
our meatballs are supplied by U.S. meat suppliers and contains only pork and beef. Like, they had to stamp that on there because I guess they got tired of being asked about horses and shit. So, I don't know how you would expect this to be served to you, but it's a cafeteria line. So, you grab the tray and slide it down. Grab the tray, fucking slide it down. Do you want an apple cake? Steve, you want an apple cake?
Pass.
Well, I want a fucking apple cake. So, I open the tray thing. I reach in and grab a paper plate that has a slice of apple cake, put it on my tray, not thinking anything about it. Do you want, Steve, what would you want? You want the combo? You want but we're going to get two combos. I'm going to have the meatballs, the fucking mashed potatoes, the Ligonberries, and gravy. And I'm also going to get a soft drink, and I'll have my option of super salad. Beautiful thing.
Sounds good, too.
I approach the chef, who is essentially a grumpy black guy standing next to a grumpy old white lady. And he goes, what do you want? imagine my disbelief when a chef at a furniture store is upset to serve the public. I said, I'll have the meatballs. He carefully counts out 15 meatballs, throws them on the fucking thing, slides my plate down. They're tiny. Like thumb marbles.
Like small. Oh, they're like smaller than golf balls.
Yeah, they're like thumb marbles. And he
really
passes them over to the old lady. She fucking just slaps this gravy on it, hands it to me, goes, "Have a nice day." I put it on my fucking my boarding room tray.
Have a good day, my friends.
I put it on my tray, and now I'm going to the salad and soup station. And I see the salad. It's like, oh, mixed greens, red onions, great. It's bowls of salad stacked up in a pyramid. They're just stacked up. There's different levels. So I'm like, oh, I look, I'll grab that one. And I grab it and I put it on the thing and I see Amanda pouring soup into a bowl and the soup looks fucking awesome. So for a second, I think I'm going to put the salad back. And I look at my hand and I realize, oh, my thumb is curled into this bowl and my finger's touching the leaves of the lettuce. I can't put this back.
Yes, you can.
No. I don't care what you're saying. I'm telling you where I'm going with the story. I'm looking at this and I'm telling myself, I can't put this back. And I put it on my tray. And then I realize the whole entire world doesn't share that sentiment.
Right.
And I'm probably about to eat a thumbed salad. And I would wager that no matter what salad I picked, there's been a fucking dirty, I need a cheap kitchen table thumb shoved into the side of it. Because you can't pick the bowl up by gripping it on the side.
Yeah.
Well, you have to pick it up with your fingers underneath it and your fucking thumb clawing it from the top, which means you're going to be touching the fucking food.
You're way overthinking it because no one is thumbing the soup.
Well, so no, Steve.
Thumb the salad.
See, so the thing is,
realize no one thumbs the soup.
I didn't realize that people would be thumbing the salad because I saw the salad first, and I'm like, oh, I like salad, I'll get salad. And then I saw the soup, and the soup looked better. But being a human, I decided not to put it back because I've already thumbed the salad.
Right. But you just realized that people do that.
That's the
so
point.
So that might have happened many times before.
That's the exact point that I'm making.
But no one will ever have thumbed the soup. Because who thumbs soup?
Steve, do you not get my fucking point? I wanted the soup, but I felt bad about putting a thumbed salad back. Because I'm a fucking human.
Yeah,
that's
but
the point I'm making.
Why would you feel bad if someone had already thumbed the salad?
Because I have fucking pride. That's okay. Why.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
So you ate the thumb salad.
Yeah, I'm a fucking man. I commit.
Well, okay. Were you mad about that?
No. No, I wasn't, no. Steve.
You got through it?
Yeah, I got through it. So I went and I took my, went and paid. Slide on down. Slide on down.
Slide on down.
So we slid on down. Okay, like, you had two combos. That's meatball combos. And you got apple cakes. Yeah, that's what we have. Okay. $18. I'm like, holy shit, dude. Fuck. That's fucking great.
What?
Dude, we had so much fucking food. Like,
dude, that should be like $8. It's a fucking cafeteria from your high school, man. I mean, really.
We had two plates of fucking meatballs, two apple cakes, and fucking salads and sodas.
Okay, good. All right.
So I'm like, oh, that's all right. So we go take our tray. We sit in the far corner away from everybody because it's just filled with crazy fucking people. As we were walking, I heard a guy say, and if they think I'm paying $60 for that bullshit-ass motherfucking drawerless motherfucking table, they have their motherfucking minds in the first place. I heard that screaming going on. I look. I see two angel-faced children at a table.
Angel-faced.
Like Whoville kids. Like very sweet little kids.
And, it's like Tommy Who and
Ray in front Jean of them, Who. In front of them, a raving lunatic father screaming to nobody. Screaming to nobody about a set, a table.
You know
with,
why. You know why. He just paid so much money to eat fucking meatballs at IKEA.
He didn't.
I mean, it's like $60. No, he's like, we're trying to buy a fucking sofa.
They only had sodas. They were only drinking sodas. And he's yelling because the table he wanted that had no drawers was $60. And there's no way he's paying no motherfucking $60.
Oh, so he was mad at the furniture.
Yeah.
Drinking soda.
I guess someone told him you need cheap shit furniture. You go to IKEA. But it ended up being a little bit too expensive for his taste.
Dude, are you serious? Cheap shit furniture? That's expensive shit furniture.
I mean, it can be very cheap, Steve. It can be.
You know what? I do have 3 lights, actually, right now in my room from IKEA.
I mean, any hack comic...
But I bought them online. I didn't...
Any hack comic is frequently called the IKEA the shit furniture that falls apart. And it's pretty cheap. It's not that expensive.
Well, we have Bob's in my area, which is the real cheap furniture that falls apart. Well,
I went to fucking Bob's, and every salesman undercuts the last... Like, if you're looking at a table, some Russian
you just have to wait until all the salespeople visit you, and then just go with the last
one. No, it's not that they undercut the price. They undermine the other salesman by trying to get that commission. It's like, I see you looking at the table. I'm like, yeah, I'm already with Randall over there. Like, yeah, well, fuck Randall. He's an asshole. Randall doesn't know this industry.
I like that. I like that store. If that's how it works, it's I've never been
bullshit.
There.
Cutthroat fucking bullshit.
I love that. I love salespeople just fucking eating each other up.
Anyway, so I ate it, and there's a whole bunch of screaming fucking people. And there was a moment where there were 2 moments where I figured something out about myself. The one where I didn't want to put the salad back because I had touched the food. And I realized, okay, if I ever have to be judged and sent to hell, at least I have that pointing me in the other direction. If anybody ever considers me a poor person, at least I have this to fall back on to let myself know that I'm good enough not to want to contaminate people with my thumb filth. And the other moment is we're sitting and I'm looking out, a fucking plane flies overhead, and I look around, and there are 3 people wearing camouflage sweatpants. And they're eating this fucking meatball slop. And they're eating it and
loving
it.
What town was this in?
This is in Newark, New Jersey.
Oh, you were in Newark?
Yes. I was in Newark.
Okay.
And so, this is... I finally figured out what it's like to have no options. It's a plate of shitty meatballs that may have horse meat in it. And... the company of people who've decided that camo sweatpants are A-OK. And I felt pretty goddamn fucking awful. Because this is the first time that Amanda and I have gone out in a few weeks. We're eating shitty horse meat.
But wait. Whose idea was it?
It was both of our ideas to go to try and find some furniture.
All right.
And it just happened this was the only... meal we've eaten out in a few weeks.
Don't they have an IKEA in Paramus?
I don't know, Steve.
Why wouldn't you go there?
I'm wrapping it up. Take the cue, Steve. Take the goddamn fucking verbal cue.
I haven't heard it.
Yes.
There it is.
That's right. Oh, it's fun times at the end of the show. A rare mix of caffeine and Miller High Life coursing through your veins.
That is absolutely what it is right now.
Don't do that again. you're a volatile mix when you. When
That's great. No, this is better than anything ever.
You have uppers and downers in you right now, Steve. You're in a state of flux.
It's like Red Bull and vodka on slow release.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you very much for listening to the show. DJNewStyleShow.com. Download everything we've ever done. Hopefully we didn't wear out our welcome by having this long episode. I just wanted to get to my last point, and I had some fucking resistance.
I'd like to hear it. Go ahead.
Steve, you're just fucking drunk. That's all I'm going to say. You're just fucking drunk right now. Is there anything that you would like to say?
No.
Thank you. Facebook.com/the DJ News Style Show. New episode of True Time Theater this week. Brand new live episode tomorrow night, 10:30 on HeroesTalk.com of Bug Zapper Radio. Tune into everything that we've got for you on HeroesTalk.com. Thank you again for listening. go to hearustalk.com/Amazon. Click the link to Amazon and buy something that you'll truly love. Rob Giggs did it tonight. He bought himself $30 worth of goddamn lambskin condoms so he can get fucking again. That's what he told me. I didn't make that up. HeroesTalk.com/Amazon. Buy something for yourself. You get something you'll like, you'll use. We get a small cut, and we get to keep making shows like this. Thank you, and have a good week. And get fucked.
Banana, fuck you.